Good morning. We all just introduce ourselves. I'm Amy Bowler, and this is my husband, Tim.
Hi, everybody.
We live in St. George. We have 7 kids, and we've homeschooled our kids for a long time. Our oldest is 23, and so we homeschooled him since he was a little guy. Now he has his own little baby. And our youngest is 1 year old, so we've got a big range of kids. We live in St. George. We've been here for about 7 years. Is that right? Okay, we've been here about 7 years, and before that, we lived in Colorado Springs for 5 years, and before that, we lived in Oregon for about 5 years, or 7 years, a lot of years. I grew up on the, kind of all over, but I went to high school in Virginia, and Kent was born in Utah, but raised mostly in California. So we love mentoring. We love teaching our children. We love mentoring in our Commonwealth School. We've been here with our Commonwealth School in St. George area for about 7 years, and now the school has split into two, and now there's going to be a third one starting in the fall, and it just keeps growing. It's been a fabulous experience for us and great to see our kids growing up in through these Commonwealth schools. Our oldest three are kind of out on their own now, and our fourth is about to go to college in the fall. So it's exciting to see the fruit of the labors. Okay, I'm going to turn the time over to Kent to share a story with us.
Good morning. Like Amy said, we're excited to be here. I'm excited to be here. I am 47 years old. Most people by this time in their life are pretty set in their ways. Some people have claimed that you can't learn anything new after a certain age.
Teaching a dog.
Can't teach a
dog new trick.
Dog new trick. I'm an old dog. No hair left. There are two types of people in this world, those who can swim and those who sink. And for 47 years, I have been one of those in the latter category of those who sink. there must have been, well, we didn't spend a lot of time in the water. Although I grew up in California, we go to the beach every once in a while. And I do have a faded memory of one time being at the beach when we were young. I don't know, I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. And my younger brother was there. And we're just walking around in the water, and the waves are crashing on us. And we're up, you know, just in the water up to knee high maybe. And a big wave came in and snuck up on us and knocked my younger brother over, and he looked like he was lifeless in the water for just half a second, and my uncle came in and saved him. But all I can figure is that must have been pretty traumatic, because ever since then, I really haven't enjoyed being in the water. You know, so we'll go to, we've never had a pool, but, you know, we'll go to other people's homes with a pool, or we're at a hotel on vacation and we're at a pool, and I'll stand in the water and pretend to play, but won't go in the water more than chest deep. And, you know, every once in a while I'll do a dog paddle or I don't know what. But just to give you an idea of how bad this has been, three or four months ago, we were at a pool, and my young son, who was 12 at the time, Ben, was horsing around with me. And, you know, he's half my size, but, you know, I was in about chest deep, and he was trying to dunk me, and he did. He got my head out of the water, and, man, that turned me inside out. I was upset, and you know, kicking and screaming and threw him off of my head and almost cursed at him and wasn't happy. Well, the other thing I have to tell you about myself is that part of being a sinker, not a swimmer, is that a swinker, I guess. I try to swim and I sink. Is that all my strength is in my lower body. So back when we were in college at BYU, I had a, you know, you have to do PE classes. And so I had a weight training class. And to be able to pass this class, you had to lift so much weight based on your body weight. And that included bench presses and different things with your upper body and, you know, some exercises, some lifts with your lower body. Well, I only passed that class on the strength of my legs. My upper body was so weak that, you know, I was half where I should have been, but my legs were so strong that I pushed enough weight to be able to pass the class. So, you know, I've always had, well, and part of that is because I love cycling. I love to ride bikes. And so I have strength in my legs and have ignored the top half, if you will, upper body strength. Well, last fall, my same son, Ben, decided on the encouragement of a friend of his to do a triathlon, which is swim, bike, run. And he did this sprint triathlon, so swim half a mile out in the lake in open water, ride, and then run a 5K. And he did it, and he loved it, and I loved it because he wanted to train on the bike. He was training in the other areas as well, and so I had a riding partner for a while and was pretty happy about that because, you know, we were riding together and spending time together that way. Well, about Thanksgiving time, just a month after that triathlon, he kind of quit exercising, and I'm still riding my bike and loving my bike. You know, I've been riding for 20 years plus, and for me, that's freedom, and it's joy, and I love it. And he quit exercising altogether, and then just about a month ago, you know, we're talking, and he decides that he wants to do a triathlon again. He wants to do the same. Well, he was ready to go to the next distance, but he said, "Dad, you got to do this with me." And I had seen this coming last fall when he did that triathlon, that, you know, this is not a risk area for me, that my son's going to rope me into this at some point. And sure enough, he did. So that it was a leap of faith for me to say yes, that I would do that with him, because that meant that I would have to learn how to swim, and not just learn how to swim in a pool, but be able to swim half a mile in a lake with hundreds of other crazy people out in the water kicking me in the face at the same time. And so so I've been working on this, and it's a challenge. So went over to the rec center, and I'm trying to learn how to swim, and I'm this 47-year-old guy, and the lifeguards are laughing at me because I try and go down in the water and put my head in the water and put my face in the water and take a couple strokes and look like a total idiot and come up out of the air gasping for breath with this, my face contorted in pain, and seriously, the lifeguards are just having the time of their lives and enjoying their pay for the first time, because now work is fun when Kent comes to try and learn how to swim. And so the first week, so I had goggles, you know, because you're supposed to wear goggles. But after two times at the pool, an hour each time, whatever it was, I'm trying to do these things, learn how to swim. I figured out that, you know, my natural reaction when going underwater is to close my eyes tight because, you know, who knows what's going to happen. It's scary. And after a week at the pool, I realized I wasn't even opening my eyes. And so, you know, after a week, my first big accomplishment was to learn how to open my eyes under the water.
With goggles.
With goggles. And the second week, After the second week, I have no idea what I learned. It didn't feel like I learned much of anything. And honestly, every time I went, it was hard. And I've been going now for 3 or 4 weeks, and it's still hard, and I don't feel like I'm making a lot of progress. But, you know, the very first day that we were there, I found a swimming mentor. The lifeguards have now become my friends, and they come over and give tips, and they're helping me out. I spend time every day on YouTube. There are hundreds of videos with video coaching on swimming, and so I'm looking at technique and how to learn how to breathe. Breathing is my hardest thing. You know, my strokes are coming around. The great news is I found out that the governing body for triathlons has removed its restriction on snorkels. So now I can, you know, breathing is still hard for me. I haven't mastered that yet. I've got 3 weeks left from today to get that done. Well, to learn how to swim and endure that and have that ability to swim out half a mile. I will probably end up doing that with the snorkel, may or may not. We'll see how the next 3 weeks go.
Well, you tried the snorkel and you couldn't do that.
I tried the snorkel and I thought that was going to be great, but as I was breathing in through the snorkel, I was still breathing in through my nose as well. I could turn off my nose. And so now I got some nose clips, and as soon as we're done with the call here, I'm going back to the pool, nose clip, snorkel, and hopefully we'll have great success with the snorkel.
All right. So thank you. Thank you for sharing, Kent.
Yeah. But
so the topic of our call today is staying power. And as soon as I as we started working on the content for the call, I immediately thought about Kent's new adventure with learning how to swim as an example of the staying power. I knew when we first got married that he couldn't swim, but there's can't swim and or not very good at swimming. That's kind of what I thought, is he wasn't very good at swimming. But I didn't realize there was this intense fear that went along with it, and way more than not skilled at swimming. And so it's been a lot bigger hurdle than he realized. And we're going to use this example as we go throughout today. But first, we want you guys to think for a minute about your own life and about a time. I'd like to think about something, a time in the past year that you've had to have staying power. You've had to have the ability to stick through something that was really difficult, to hang with something that was hard. It could be something in your family. If you have children, then you need look no further, because there's always times when we need to kind of hang in with a phase that they're in or something that they're working on. And same thing with mentoring a class. There's times when you have to endure. But I want you to think of a specific instance, and I want you to take just a minute to write about that time when you've had to have staying power. And whether you feel like you did have that staying power or whether you feel like you didn't have it, but you wish you did, or you wanted to have more of it, or maybe it's something that you're going through right now and really needing to have some greater ability to get to that finish line. So we'll just give you just about 30 seconds or a minute to just jot down on paper something that you're going through right now or have in the past few months or years.
We did this same call with the youth a couple days ago, and it was interesting to hear their responses to this question. A lot of them came up with a lot of things that that we asked them to do in the projects at their Commonwealth schools. Some of them said a Key of Liberty class. Some of them said, almost all of them said memorizing lines for Shakespeare. Our own children participated in their Shakespeare play last night, and I know we had lots of tears this week as they were memorizing those lines, trying to get to the finish line, which for them was the production of the play. I know with us as adults, it's a little bit different, the things that we are going through. So we'd like to open it up for one or two shares. So we're going to unmute it here. If you have something that you'd like to share, of something that has been hard for you or that you're currently going through, I'd love to hear. You don't have to explain a lot about it. Just mention.
Life's not that easy. You're all not skating by. What's going on?
I'll just throw out, making dinner is tough for me. Having to make dinner for my family. For some reason this year, it's been really, really difficult. I've just been in a funk.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. That seems like it seems like a really simple one, but that's one of those things that as being, well, a human being who needs to eat, dinner has to be made all the time, but especially when you have younger ones that can't make dinner for themselves and you're responsible for making their food too. That requires staying power because it doesn't ever end. Every single night, dinner is going to be needed. And just because you made dinner great for 1 week, it's not over.
Yep.
We have a niece. We have a niece, and if she had her way, it would always be chicken nuggets from
Costco.
Not Burger King, not McDonald's.
Well, I'll throw out the obvious, homeschooling.
Awesome. Yeah, another great one.
I have a couple.
Cool.
This is Joy Petty. Well, first of all, I'm mentoring my first Shakespeare. I'm alone. I have no helpers in the performances tonight, and I'm. Talk about needing staying power. I'm just hanging on by my fingernails.
Yes. We're going to pray for you. Awesome. You can do it.
And the other thing is, you know, sometimes you have a child, and you could, this could probably even, you know, apply in a mentoring situation, in regular mentoring, but a parenting situation where you have a child where you might not like them very much. And they're hard. Some personalities or some kids, especially in some seasons of life, are very hard to be around.
Yes.
And
yes.
A real challenge. And it takes a lot of staying power because sometimes you just really feel like you could ship them off to boarding school or something. Because you don't want to be around them. They're hard, and sometimes they're toxic, you know, or whatever, and they're annoying, and you just still have to love them. Oh.
Yes. Yes.
It takes a lot to endure.
Yes, yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for sharing. Okay, we're gonna go back to muted. We'll have some more time for sharing
conference
in a minute.
Muted.
Awesome examples. Thanks, you guys. We really appreciate it. There are a few people from history that we think of too when we thought about this staying power. Groups of people I think about initially is the Israelites who were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and the staying power that they had to have. I think about the people who were struggling for their freedom in the Revolutionary War after going through 2 years of losses and facing the most powerful, most well-equipped, and wealthiest military force in the world, those American soldiers had to have a great staying power. Many of them not sure if their families were going to survive in their absence, and many of them not having the right clothes, the right equipment, even shoes, and very little food, and all for what? To continue to lose, and look like they're not, don't have much prospect of any kind of triumph, even winning a battle. I think about Columbus and his desire to reach the West Indies or East Indies, one of those Indies, and how hard he had to work, the kind of staying power he had to have, the continually just getting the money, getting the royalty to buy off on his dream, on his desire to have this expedition, to get the ships, to get the crew, and to get the money to back him for this undertaking. I think probably similar to going to the moon in our day, the amount of money involved and resources and unknown aspects. Any others? Were there any others, Kent, that you thought of?
Viktor Frankl, but I'll wait to talk about him until a little bit later.
Okay. All right. We wanted to share with you some principles from Simon Sinek. He wrote a book called Start With Why, and he has a very famous TED Talk that you can look up. Sinek is his last name, S-I-N-E-K. And his TED Talk is fantastic, but it's a really very, very simple principle. And he draws this golden circle, and he starts out with a small circle, and then he draws a larger circle around that small circle, and then a third circle around that. So it's three concentric circles. And in the first circle, he draws the word why. In the second circle is the word how, and the third circle is the word what. And his idea and the thing that we want to talk about today is that the most important part about inspiring ourselves, inspiring other people, and specifically having staying power is that we need to know our why. And we need to focus on the why, and we need to start with the why, and the why is the most important. The why is our purpose, the purpose for what we're doing. And a lot of times when things start getting hard, maybe it's a Shakespeare class that's losing motivation. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe we are losing motivation, losing some hope, losing some staying power with one of our children. Maybe we're mentoring a class that's really difficult, like what someone was just talking about a few minutes ago about how there's a difficult child and someone who might be harder to love. Going back to the why is what will make all the difference. So I want to ask Kent about his struggle that he's going through right now in learning how to swim. And I think it's pretty cool that he's still in the middle of it. He hasn't triumphed over it yet. And a lot of times when we hear stories, like when we study about the Revolutionary War, we know the outcome. And it's a lot of times hard to understand their perspective when we see the great results that came from it, and we know that it was so right and it was so important what they did. But when you're in the middle of it, you can't see the end. We don't know what's going to happen when you're in the middle of the lake and there's just water and thrashing people all around you. You're not sure what the outcome is. And we have an advantage of having Ken's perspective right now that he's right in the middle of his struggle.
Before you ask me that question, I have to go back to the story just a little bit and tell you that throughout my life, I have subscribed to the good professor's theory in The Music Man, where if you just think it, it'll work out. And if you remember in that play, right, they order the musical instruments, and the next thing that you know, after they finally come, after he doesn't scam them, I guess, they're marching down the street and they're playing beautifully. And so in my mind, as I think about this, you know, I think about how it's so easy. It should be so easy. And in my mind's eye, I visualize it and I can see it happening. And then I go to the pool again and I feel like maybe I'm a quarter step better, if that. It doesn't feel like I'm progressing the way that I want to. And when I get halfway across the pool before I have to come up for air, and I'm frustrated, and I want to quit. Every time.
Really hard. That's really hard. And we all have things in our life. Every one of us has something in our life right now that we feel that way about, that we feel like we're making the stroke and we just have to stop and come up for air, and we're not sure if we can go back down under the water because it's so hard. And we need staying power. So what is your why, Kent? Why are you doing this? You don't have to swim. Just stay on the land.
I like my bicycle, and I can stay in shape riding my bicycle, and it's so much fun. Because for a long time, I've known that this is a weakness of mine, not being able to swim, and that I've just wanted to overcome that weakness and that fear and have that skill set to be able to swim. So to overcome my fear and to be able to swim.
Awesome. Awesome. That's fantastic. Overcoming fear. That's huge. That's a huge why. We could, if we are writing those circles, in fact, I urge you to write on your paper right now, write those three circles. Write a small circle and write the word why in it. And a bigger circle, make another circle around that. And write how. And a bigger circle around that and write what. But we're going to focus on the why. Okay, so overcoming that fear. Why? Why do you want to overcome fear? That's hard. It's easier to just, we all have things we're afraid of. Just, you can ignore it. You don't live near an ocean. We live in Utah.
There might be a flash flood.
There's a desert. It is raining right now, but it doesn't happen very often.
And the Lord promised that he wouldn't flood the earth again.
That's
so
right.
We're probably pretty okay. Crazy like that. I've successfully ignored it for the last 47 years, so that's a good question. Why now? I guess because I want to be a good dad.
What does that have to do with overcoming the fear?
Well, I have mentored our kids, and I've mentored our kids in our Commonwealth classes, and in both cases, I've asked them to do things that are hard. And so how can I be true to myself and what I ask of them if I can't do the same thing and do hard things? So for me to be a good dad, I need to be an example of the same thing that I've asked them to do.
Awesome.
For me, mentoring is easy, reading is easy, studying is easy. The things that I ask them to do academically, if you will, or with homeschool, come easy for me. And sometimes I think that they feel like I'm not connected with them or don't understand what they're going through, because some of the things that we ask them to do are easy for us as parents, and it's hard for them. And so I don't think that
Oh, that's a great perspective.
They've
yes.
seen me struggle hard, you know, pushing through a hard thing. And all my kids now, I mean, they know what kind of a swimmer I am. And so, and Ben sees me every time at the pool, and he's coaching me, and he's patient with me, and it's really good for him.
That's awesome. Okay, so overcome the fear, and the even deeper why to be a good dad, to be an example, be a good dad and a good mentor. Awesome. Is there any other reason why? Is there a reason why you want to be a good dad? Is there a reason why you want to be a good mentor?
Well, it's in between the lines of what I just said, I think, that I want to be true to myself, and I want to be true to my divine self, my full self. I want to live up to my full potential as my creator has created me. He didn't create me to be paralyzed with fear.
Awesome. All right. If you notice, when I was talking with Kent, he gave an initial why, and that was true. That was a true why, but I pushed him to go a little bit deeper with additional reasons, additional purposes for why he set out to do what he's doing, in his case, a triathlon. So I want each of you to take a minute now and to take that item that you've written on your paper that you need staying power for. And if you chose something that was in the past, I do think it will be more powerful if you take something that you need staying power on right now, because I really do believe that everybody has something that they need staying power on right now. That's part of our existence as humans, that we have something that is hard for us right now and that we need staying power. So I'd like you to take that thing, and I'm going to ask you that same question. Why? Why have you undertaken to do this? Why are you a parent? Why are you mentoring? Why are you feeding dinner to your children? Why are you doing what you're doing?
Why didn't God give you that child?
And you can write that down on your paper. And then I want you to look at what you wrote down and ask yourself again, why? To try to go deeper, to get to a deeper level of really why. What is your purpose in doing what you're doing? Let's open up for a couple of shares.
Maybe a different way to ask that question,
yeah,
without asking why. What does God need me to learn from this situation? Maybe that's another way of getting at that why.
Awesome.
Because sometimes we're in situations that aren't of our own choosing. where we're going through something that's really hard.
That's true. Right.
And we still need that staying power, and we need to understand what's the purpose.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, and maybe it's not why did I choose to get in this situation, but why do I want to overcome? Why do I want this staying power? All right, I'm going to mute because there's still so few of us. We can. I'm going to unmute you guys, and if there are a couple people who want to. If you'd like to share any of your, if you'd like to share one of your purposes or reasons.
Okay, I have a thought about the Shakespeare conquest that I'm doing.
Your name?
I'm sorry, what?
Can you say your name over there?
My name? Joy Petty.
Joy. Okay, thanks, Joy.
This has been an important question for me to ask because I have 10 children, and, I mean, they're only 6 at home, but the other ones still take energy, too.
Oh, yes.
And I pretty much do the work. My husband's a thinker. He's not a do yard work, and he doesn't do, you know, housework. And anyway, so my plate was already full. It was already over full. So why on earth did I need to take this on? You know, I had to really ask that, and I have to keep asking it. My husband asks it all the time. he's not really excited about this because when I'm stressed, you know, he feels stressed and everything.
Right.
Anyway, so I had to ask it, and my feeling was, okay, I live in North Carolina. There's no leadership education around here, you know.
Wow.
And I wanted my children to have that. I feel I have converted very strongly to it in the last few years, especially because my 5th and 6th kids would not go with the mold. So I needed that. I think Heavenly Father led me to it for their sake because I needed to understand that it's okay. It's okay that they aren't going to do the traditional path. And especially my 5th. Great kid, but not traditional, okay? Just not going to do it. And so I just was pulling my hair out, and I felt like I've got to be the one. I have to be the torchbearer. I can't wait for it to happen. And my husband doesn't want to move, so I'm stuck, right? So if something's going to happen, it has to be me. And I really put it off a while because this is so hard. And my youngest finally turned 4, and I felt like Heavenly Father said it's time. I have to do it.
Awesome.
So I did it,
okay,
even though it was tough, and it's still tough.
So yes, and so your why is for your children, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
for
it's hard
children.
For me, too. I mean, I'm not a Shakespeare lover. I wasn't anyway. I'm learning to be, but, you know,
yeah.
It was a learning experience for me, too.
And you're out there on your own, not a lot of support, not a lot of home educators to begin with, and not a lot of TJ
Ed.
There's
a lot of homeschoolers, but they're not TJ Ed at all.
So you're doing it for your children because you know they need this. Why? Why do they need this?
I want them to feel, gain confidence that there are things out there to learn that are exciting, and even if they've never been introduced to them before, they can learn to, you know, enjoy them and love them, even though they never would have done it on their own. And that you know, immersing themselves in something new can be fun and exciting and very fulfilling. And they have talents that maybe they didn't. I mean, my kids like theater, but, you know, they.
Uh-huh.
Other kids have talents that they never would have guessed, maybe, that they would have loved. And they can do things and learn things they never would have thought that they, you know, they wouldn't have done it. And so
it's
building confidence and building some skills and learning to love, you know, learning new things.
Yes.
That's important.
That's awesome. That's really good.
really good joy. And as you have the Shakespeare performance tonight, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Why am I listening to this call?
No. Sometimes we need some inspiration for ourselves, and that's okay. We'll talk about that in a little bit. but I mean, I think you've obviously had staying power to get to where you are right now. You don't have too much left to go on this journey for this Shakespeare class, but I'm sure you've had to go, like you said, your husband's constantly asking you, now, why is it that you're doing this again? Especially
yeah.
when it's something like this where you had a choice. You didn't have to do it.
Right, and we're looking at signing up next year, he's like, and why do you want to sign up another class? I don't really want to, honey, but I feel like I have to. Ah! Yeah. Really, we have to ask why really hard.
It's really important. It's really important. And the more clear you are on that why, and the more clear you are about your vision, about your purpose, the better it will be, the more staying power you will have to be able to get you through those really hard times. And the same thing with our children or our youth that we're mentoring. When they are having a difficult time with whatever it is, we have to ask them why. And sometimes they may say, I don't want to do this. And, you know, hopefully it's something, I mean, there may be some things like family work or, you know, some other things that they don't have a choice about that they can't choose out of. But hopefully there are some things that we can say, that's why we try to have our projects with a freedom so that they can choose out of it, so that they can know, okay, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I did sign up for this class. I did think I wanted to do a Shakespeare play. And helping them think about why it is they want to do this, and helping them see that vision. I think that's a huge purpose that we have as mentors, is to, a lot of times we have to have that vision for them and then constantly be reminding them of that. You want to do this because at the end of this project, you are going to have this. You're going to have this confidence. You're going to have this ability to do hard things. You're going to have ability to memorize. You're going to have ability to step out of your comfort zone and do something that seems so scary and is so scary, and to speak words that you don't even know the meaning of. You're going to have to look them up. To interact with someone else, you might have to pretend like you're in love with somebody. That's scary. My son is in Midsummer Night's Dream, and he's bottom. He had to be a donkey in love. Some hard things. One year my daughter had to be a man, and she had to be a drunk man. She did not like that. It took her a long time to get over her dislike of that Shakespeare role. But, oh, what she learned in that experience. Awesome. Yeah. Any, maybe one more person sharing about their why. Thank you, Joy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, good.
Hi,
this is Christine. Hi, I'm in Southwestern Virginia. I was in the same Shakespeare Conquest mentoring group with Joy, and our dress rehearsal is Tuesday, and our final performance is a week from Tuesday, and my father passed away. So I'm dealing with grief and funeral and all that kind of stuff, but I've really been blessed because I had a small group. So we had to call other people and ask them to come join us. And one young lady was very busy, but she wanted to be a producer. So she has been my right-hand man, and I don't think I could have done it without her help. Or I would have been extremely stressed.
Yeah.
And this is a really great bunch of kids, and I'm like saying, you know, I'm dealing with all this other stuff, but I have full confidence in all you. And it's just been a really different kind of experience than I expected.
Wow. Yeah, you can't foresee that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what is your why, Christine? Why are you still going through with it?
It's very similar to Joy's. I really feel like we need a foothold of the leadership education here in southwestern Virginia. We're just up the road from Wythe County, named after George Wythe. We need something like this here. And I have children that need it.
That's
and I really felt like it's what Heavenly Father wanted us to do.
Yeah. And when it's hard, that why is what can keep you going.
Yes.
Because all the other things, they can help, and we're going to talk about some tools and some things to help us to stay, to have staying power. But really, ultimately, it comes down to why are we doing it? And if we have a strong enough purpose, then we can push through anything.
Right.
Yeah. And when we lose that why and there's no longer a why, then maybe we actually aren't supposed to do it. And that's a good way to figure out if it's a different direction that we need to take. Because sometimes we're not supposed to have staying power. Sometimes we are supposed to say, I have gone down this path as far as I'm supposed to go, and I'm supposed to take a different path.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing, Christine and Joy.
Sure. Thanks.
We wanted to share, Kent wanted to share a story of Viktor Frankl.
So,
conference muted.
Viktor Frankl was in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. And I believe most of us are familiar with him in the book that he's written and his great influence and his great insights. But just on Thursday, I came across a story of his where he was in the concentration camp, and he said it got to the point where he could tell when people had lost their why, when they no longer understood, or they'd given up hope, they let go of that why, and then within a day or two, they would die.
And for them, they obviously did not choose to go in the concentration camp.
Right.
And so what's their why?
And so he tells the story of how he was engaged in conversation with two other prisoners there in the camp, and both of them had hit this point where they were done, where it was too much, where they couldn't anymore. They couldn't take it anymore. And he said an epiphany came to him to ask them this question. I don't remember the exact way that he asked the question, but what he asked them was why. Why are you on this earth? Why are you alive? Why are you here? And one of the prisoners immediately piped up and remembered that he had a daughter who had escaped and was in America and was waiting for him and was hopeful to reunite with him. And as soon as he grasped onto that why, that purpose in his life, he was okay, and he survived. And the other one remembered that he had written these books on things that he was passionate about, and that he had not yet published them, and that he needed to finish that work. And same thing. He remembered his why, and he endured. He had staying power again. And with that simple question, Viktor Frankl save those two men's lives.
Wow. That's really powerful. That's really powerful.
Our daughter, who just turned 17, has been doing a class. So in our area, there's a group of kids that get together once a week to sing missionary-type songs. They call it a missionary choir, church songs, religious songs. All, you know, 90% of them are in high school, but they do it in a home of a family that just started homeschooling that are friends with our family. And our daughter, Emma, co-mentors Give Liberty with me and is really passionate about freedom. And she wanted these other kids to get some of that same understanding and feel some of that about freedom. And so she felt this call to go teach a class to them. And so she's been doing that for several months now. And on Thursday, she came to me and she said, "Dad, I'm not feeling it. I don't know what to do tonight and for my class, and I'm just not inspired." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Dad, I'm just being honest with you." And I mean, I said that to her because I know how she is and how passionate she is about freedom and how passionate she felt about this call. And she said, "Dad, I'm just being honest with you." And so then I asked her some of these same questions. "Why are you doing this?" And we went back through it and she answered the questions. And, you know, I asked her why a couple times. And she went and she had a good class and she didn't quit. She didn't give up.
Did she know her why?
She did. Yeah, she remembered her why as we talked through it.
Yeah, really remembering our why, and before we start a project or before we, as we feel ourselves entering a time of extreme trial, is asking ourselves why or the purpose for us having that staying power is really important. Having the why isn't everything, though. You have to also take action. You think about Martin Luther King Jr. He had an incredible vision. He had an incredible dream of what he saw happening in America. And he shares that in his famous speech, "I Have a Dream." But he didn't just dream about it. He had that strong why, but he gathered people around him who helped him to then implement that dream. And that's when the how and the what come in. So we want to briefly touch on those actions that are also necessary steps to help us have that staying power. So the how are the actions. It's basically just how you're going to do it, how you're going to accomplish that purpose. So one of the first things that you'll want to do is to find a mentor. I know Joy and Christine who have shared today about the Shakespeare conquest. They came to training, and so they had a mentor in that training, somebody who has done Shakespeare before. And I'm guessing since you are on this call today, you've been on other calls before, and you've received mentoring with this mentor. And having a mentor is huge. So that's the first step, is having a mentor, finding a mentor, and then being willing to submit to the mentor. Second step in implementing is developing a plan. It's important to know what it is you're going to do, and that's one way that a mentor comes in very strongly, is that the mentor can help you with the plan. With your Shakespeare class, with all of your projects, that's one of the things that is so powerful about Lemmy, It gives you a framework and a plan and a mentor to help you accomplish that plan, that you're not just going in blind with, well, I really want to teach these principles of freedom, but I'm not really sure how I'm going to do that. I'm not sure what I'm going to teach. Well, the project gives you your outline. It gives you your plan. But the same thing goes with when we are struggling with issues in our family. Even if you go back to the needing staying power with making dinner, you can develop a plan. This is where the system and the forms come in. What's a plan that you want to implement? Recently, I read the book, The Magic Art of Tidying, by a Japanese woman who has, it's become a bestseller now, about organizing, discarding things and organizing your home. And she has a really specific plan for how you do that. Basically, you touch everything in your house and ask yourself if it brings you joy. And if it does, then you keep it and you find a place for it and you always put it in that place. And if it doesn't, then you give it away and you say, thank you for bringing me joy in the past, or thank you for helping me realize that that kind of thing doesn't give me joy and I shouldn't bring it into my home. Bid it farewell and move on with fewer things in your home. That's an example of a mentor and a plan. So that's one of the things I'm struggling with right now, is having staying power in going through every single thing that I have in my home. It's going to take me a long time. I'm going to need to have a lot of staying power and a lot of remembering why I'm doing it. But these steps I'm using these steps as well. So 1, find a mentor. 2, develop a plan. 3, find a community. A community could be your Commonwealth school. A community could be your family. Kent with his triathlon, his community, his main community is just his son, just he and Ben. And it could just be one person who's just your buddy and who's your support. Who are your peers? Who's lifting you up? It's huge. It's huge to be doing it on your own. I know when we live in Colorado, we really struggle to have a supportive community. And when we move to a different town and we're able to find a different community, it has made a huge difference in our lives and the lives of our children in helping to lift them up in the things that they're doing. So finding others to support you is really important. And sometimes those people become mentors, but sometimes they're just friends and they're kind of along on the journey with you, struggling as well. But it's still important to have them. 4 is gathering other resources or tools. I think about Kent's swimming expedition, and he's found some great tools. Goggles, for one, he can open his eyes. That's so exciting. The snorkel, not quite sure how to use that tool yet, but he also discovered these, we like to call them floaty pants, but he discovered that a lot of bikers turn triathlete who are learning how to swim or trying to swim longer distances after biking for many, many years, you also have a difficulty swimming like he's having. And so they wear these wetsuit shorts that give them some more buoyancy and help them in that process. So that's an example of a tool that he's using to help him. We can find lots of resources. Maybe it's some books. Maybe it's some research that are going to help you. Maybe it is, what else? What's some other resources? Sometimes tools, I think of like in organizing my home, there are going to be some, the main tool is just having, learning the ability to say goodbye to a lot of my things. But there are, once I'm starting to organize and put things where they belong, then some of the tools I'm using are, plastic boxes that organize things. So it can be as simple as that. Maybe when you're making dinner at night, a tool is, you know, an app you have on your phone that helps you stay organized or helps you have your menu list every week. Sometimes those things can be really simple, but can make a big difference as you're having that staying power and getting through. Then the fifth and final item that we feel like really helps you in your how, in accomplishing your task and having that staying power, is to have fun. And there are kind of two aspects of the having fun. The first one is just enjoying the journey. Kent is really good at that. Even though the swimming is really hard, he's able to laugh about it. He's able to laugh at himself and able to laugh, even though I'm sure he's probably crying inside sometimes as he thinks about what his face might look like or what himself might look like, and yet willing to go out there and do that and to even laugh about it and to say, well, that snorkel must look ridiculous and all I'm doing is getting water up my nose, so I'm throwing that over to the side until I can figure it out. Laughing, having fun, finding joy in the journey. And the other part of it is finding your watering holes. And Tiffany and Melody address this in one of the classic calls. Talk about the desert, the huge desert that is here in the Vegas area. But from St. George to Vegas, right now, if we drive to the airport, it takes about 2 hours, and we drive on a nice smooth road. But back in the times when there weren't cars and they would have to make that journey with horses, they wouldn't take the same road that we take today. They would have to take a road that would lead them very carefully from watering hole to watering hole, because they wouldn't be able to make it unless their horses and they themselves had enough water. And a lot of times as we're struggling through something that's really difficult, we're trying to have staying power to get through to the finish line. It doesn't matter how much we think about our vision, think about our why, if we don't have water, you can't keep going. And so you need to find out what it is for you that your watering holes are. What is it that keeps you inspired? And maybe, like I think that was Joy was saying, why am I on this call this morning? Maybe this call is your watering hole so that you can make it through today and make it for your next little part until you need another watering hole. So being aware that you need watering holes, I know a lot of us, a lot of homeschool parents, typically undertake a lot. Like I think it was Joy who was saying, it was Joy or Christine, saying we're already overwhelmed just with our family, and then we add on to that homeschooling, and we add on to that mentoring in the Commonwealth. We're taking on a lot, and so a lot of times we just want to keep working, but we need to remember it's important to stop and drink some water and refuel. And for that, it doesn't have to take that long. Maybe it's taking 10 minutes to just quietly meditate or pray or listen to some uplifting music. Maybe you keep working while you're listening to that music. Maybe I know for Kent with his swimming, one of his watering holes is to get on his bike and to just remember something that he is really good at and that he does feel a lot of joy from. The bike actually motivates him to get back in the pool again. Those tools will help you as you're implementing your vision. So I'd like you to take just one more minute right now to write down any of these steps or one of these steps that you feel like maybe right now would help you to with your staying power, that will help you to accomplish your goals right now, the difficult thing that you are working on. Kind of what's your next right step, and how are any of these things going to help you with that? Finding a mentor, developing a plan, finding a community, gathering other resources and tools, and having fun. And the final step is what? The final circle, and that is the results, the natural consequence that will flow from focusing on the why and then staying committed to the how, the process. For Kent, your what are you accomplishing?
I'm doing a triathlon, baby.
Nice. That's your what? Cross the finish line, literally.
Literally.
Yeah. And I know that you keep visioning in your mind yourself coming up out of the water.
Coming up the ramp out of the water.
Right. And you're going to need staying power, even though biking and running isn't difficult for you. You'll still need staying power because the water will have drained you. So, yeah. That's your what. We wanted to share one final story with you, and I'll let Kent share that.
There's an awesome story of Aaron Ralston. You might remember he's the individual who was out canyoneering and was stuck for several days and ended up amputating his hand, end of his arm off, to be able to live. He wrote a book called Between a Rock and a Hard Place, and they actually did a movie. Well, there was a TV special, and then there was a movie. The movie is worth watching if you have Clear Play. Just a little bit of language, but the Clear Play takes that out. Anyway, Aaron, we've read that story and watched the movie, and I want to relate this story to you because it ties in with what we're talking about. So Aaron Ralston, for him, his joy was being out in nature and pushing himself in these slot canyons where you're rappelling hundreds of feet, you're climbing, and he just loved doing that. And so he went out on this one weekend into a very remote area and didn't tell anybody where he was going. He made a big mistake. But as he was out there in that slot canyon, in the middle of nowhere, obviously no cell phone coverage, he's going down through the slot canyon. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. He's having a great time. He's on top of this boulder, getting ready to leap down to another boulder that's just wedged there in between the walls of that canyon. And as he goes to make that jump, the boulder moves. It shifts. It's an enormous boulder, and it shifts and ends up pinning his arm between that rock and the canyon wall. And he has a little bit of water and just a little bit of food. It was just a day hike, if you will. And he's wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And he suffers through 5 days. There was only one point in the late afternoon where the sunshine came down through that narrow, narrow canyon and had reached where he was and warmed him up just for a few minutes. And the rest of the time, he was in the shadows and freezing, suffering from no food, from no water. But the whole time, he has this desire to survive, and so he's doing everything that he can. He uses his rope climbing gear to build a little harness that he can sit in, hang from, instead of just hanging from the from his arm against that wall. He has a little Leatherman tool, and he uses the knife on that, trying to chip away at the rock to create an opening wide enough to free his arm. He ends up using his water bottle to urinate into and drinking that to survive longer. During the nights, he couldn't sleep because his body would start going into convulsions, shaking from the cold. And so he goes 5 days basically without sleeping. And everything that he tries doesn't work, but he just keeps trying, and but nothing works, nothing works. And finally, on the last night that he's there, he has a dream, he has a vision. And in that vision, he sees a little toddler, a little 2 or 3 year old boy across the room. And the boy looks up and sees him, and his face lights up with joy, and he smiles, and he runs to Aaron and jumps into his arms. And as Aaron reaches out in this vision to pick him up, he sees that his hand is amputated. And as he picks that boy up and holds him, he knows instantaneously that it's his own boy. And at that point in his life, he didn't even have a girlfriend, you know, not married, no children. And so it was a powerful vision of why he needed to live, why he needed to survive. And so he wakes up that morning, doesn't really wake up, he's never really slept, but after receiving that vision, it now dawns on him what he has to do. And he realizes that he can use his body weight and angle his arm and use his body weight to break the two bones that are in his forearm. He'd been trying to use that knife. He'd actually tried to amputate his arm several times before during those 5 days, and really couldn't make much of a dent. The knife wasn't sharp enough, and it wasn't getting through the bone at all. And so he realized, well, I can't cut through the bone, but I can break the bones. And so he immediately does it and uses his body weight, throws his body around and breaks the one bone and then breaks the second bone. And then there were two knives in that Leatherman. The shorter one hadn't been used to try and chip away at the rock. So he gets out that shorter one and cuts through the skin and the tissue and the tendons and is then free from that rock and survives. And then he survived, and then he found a great lady and was married and had that boy because he understood why.
That's really powerful. Thanks for sharing that, Ted. I love that story because when he comes out of that vision, nothing's changed about his situation. Rescuers don't suddenly come down with ropes. He doesn't get more water or more food or more strength. If anything, he's more drained. But with that vision now strong in his mind, he can overcome. And he does. And I know that that's true for all of us. If we, whatever it is that we need staying power for right now, if we will remember our vision, remember our why, go back to it. Maybe we need to go back to it every day, depending on what we're going through. And if it's our children who are going through it, ask them these questions. Help remind them of why so that they can get through to the finish line. You are all amazing. We don't even know you, but we know the fact that you're here today and trying to become better and have that staying power tells us a lot. And we wish you the best on all that you're endeavoring to do. And those of you who are working on your Shakespeare play, our support goes with you. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. We know you can do it. It'll be an amazing experience. And all of you, thanks for being here today, and thanks for sharing.
And whatever your challenge is, it's the same thing. We know that with God's help, you can do all things. As you go about with that staying power, you'll survive, and you'll cross that finish line.
And we, if you... I'll give you my email, and if you send me your email, then we'll send you a picture of Kent when he comes out of the water in his triathlon. So my email is bowler_Amy, bowler_Amy@hotmail.com. So email me if you want to have a picture of him coming out of the water. Just a reminder of that staying power. We know you can do it. Have a fabulous day and a great week and an end of your school year.
Thanks, everyone.
Good.